that I identify with that song, or at least I identify with the guitar player, because he goes like this, and my wife tells me, when you speak, please don't do that. Don't do that. It's indeed a beautiful day here in Maui East. This is my first opportunity to speak to you since the Millers, all of the Millers, Alina, William, Skip, and Suzanne, returned from Kenya. That was our first trip to Africa, and we learned a great deal. I know we call San Diego actually Oceanside. We call it Maui East, but Kenya is really Maui East. The country itself looks like Maui, and the hills are mostly old volcanoes. Do we have old volcanoes? Oh, they're not up there yet. That was the message to begin the slideshow. They're mostly old volcanoes, but I can go ahead and speak. Kenya is rich in every type of natural resource. It actually produces some electric power by hot water, which is just below the surface. Geothermal power project. They don't have to turn windmills or do any of that stuff. They get the power right there. And they have electricity all over, and most people don't have it, but some do. And the area could conceivably grow more cattle than Texas, but mostly they don't. Mostly they don't. Those cattle are cool, but that's how many cattle most of the people have that have cattle. You know, it rains quite a bit, and I don't know if Mr. Clark knew why he gave the message that he did, but I do, because that the rivers of living water are all over Kenya. You can't have good crops. You can't have cattle. You can't have any of that if you don't have rain. And Kenya is blessed with an abundance of rain. And the rivers, if you notice the rivers, if you've already seen them, they run brown. And the reason why they run brown is because they're coming out of those volcanic hills, and that lava that is breaking down is rich. The soil is rich. It will grow anything. If you throw a seed on the ground, boom, it'll sprout right there, right before you, like rivers of living water. It's incredible. However, sometimes, perhaps you'll see it up there, it rains a little bit too much. Did you see the sunken house yet? You haven't seen the sunken house yet. Well, just look at the nice growing things, but then soon you will come to a house that is at least 10 feet underwater. And that will not occur in the world beyond today. It'll be a little bit different. And when God gives the rivers of living water, it'll be exactly perfectly correct. However, those muddy rivers do give great crops, as I was saying. Therefore, most of the people that we were with, those in God's church, are subsistence farmers. They grow what they eat, and occasionally they try to sell whatever extra that they come up with. But since everybody, and I mean everybody, I mean 95% of the people are doing the same thing, the prices for good organic food is, this is a joke, dirt cheap. And none of our people make much money. They just don't. The average wage of any of our people is $1 a day. A school teacher like I was, and William will become, and Jen already is, teachers make about $3 to $4 a day. That's U.S. dollars a day. A college professor makes maybe four times that, maybe $16 a day. That's top end. Kenya has oil, and perhaps you know there were some incredibly rich gold mines, which are again producing. They stopped when gold was about $100 an ounce. Now that it's over 1,000, people actually go and they work the tailings and the old mines, and they occasionally find slivers of gold, which they can sell. they don't get very much when they sell it. They don't get $1,000 an ounce, but that's what's gold's going for much more than that on the open market. Now I want to tell you why I'm talking about Kenya on God's Sabbath here in San Diego. Although some of you may decide that you want to visit Africa, most of you probably will not. Most of you probably will not. You won't have the opportunity that William and Alina, Suzanne and I had. I see you're smiling. Are you looking at my roadkill sign? Were you looking at that one? Not that one? Oh, okay, well, I won't mention that. Anyway, William and Alina, Suzanne and I had the opportunity to fellowship with quite a number of the East African brethren. You will not have that opportunity unless you go out of your way to visit Kenya. You won't have the opportunity to hear them sing. And I know that music video that we were seeing, you heard the guitar quite a bit, and I like guitars, so that's okay. And that one guy that was really going like that, I mean, when I talked to him, he was going like this, you know. So we talked together very nicely, you know, because we both kind of had the rhythm at the time that we were talking. However, when they sang special music for us, they sang Archipelago. Is that right? Oh, what's that word? Oh, yeah, that's the word. But they sang without any accompaniment, and they were great. They're naturally in harmony with each other. And it was beautiful, and that's the only thing that I have to say as a drawback to the music video that I want to give you today after services. So, in any case, you won't get to hear them sing unless you go there. But if you do, if you get one of these music videos, DVD, because it's got both video and audio, if you get one of those, you'll be able to enjoy them without the fellowship that we enjoyed. And you won't get to be in close proximity to the honest, real joy that these people had in their hearts when they were doing the singing. So I was asked personally, and I agreed to bring back some music DVDs and to show them to you so that you can see what some of your brethren do so well, which is singing joyously together. And boy, when we participated in services, they were singing joyously and so were we. To our God and Father in heaven, to our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Now, so what? These people have no extra money to keep the feast. But if you choose to donate something when you pick up the music DVD, which is yours, that will help them all keep God's feast next year. And brethren, when we keep the feast, we usually have a good time, and we see places that are fun, and God wants us to do that. He wants us to go to the feast and have a really good time. There isn't any question about that. Mr. Clark and myself can read those scriptures, which we did at the feast this year. But other people, like in Africa, they actually are just happy to be able to go and keep the feast in tents. Maybe you saw some of the tents that were up there. Many are not able to attend weekly Sabbath services, so they look forward to and they enjoy the sermons. I don't know how many of us go to the feast. I'm looking forward to those really good sermons. You hope they'll be good, but I don't know. A lot of times when we go to the feast, we think of the neat places we get to visit besides listening to the wonderful sermons. While there, we, and this is putting the feast message after the eighth day message, while there in Kenya, we talked about government, which is actually what God's Feast of Tabernacles is all about. Let's go to Isaiah 9, verse 6. and read what I think is probably the most famous feast scripture of all time, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will do that. Now, what a wonderful hope that is for all of us. Now, that child, we know, I didn't reference it, but that child was Jesus Christ. But at his first coming, he did not become king. Yes, he was born to be that. Let's notice. Let's go to John. We were there earlier, but let's go to John 18. Because at this time, Jesus is before Pilate in John 18. And let's start reading at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, and he called Jesus, and he said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? There was a reason why Jesus said that. We won't go into that. But Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, not that question, but he answered something that's really important. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, at the time he was speaking, now at the time he was speaking, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. I'm going to say something, and I want you to think about it. Brethren, we human pitiful humans could say the same thing. We could say the same thing. You and I, first fruits, are called out of the world, and if we respond properly to the call, if we change and we become what God wants, God's plan is for us to become kings and priests at the return of Jesus Christ in his kingdom, under him. Let's go to Revelation 20, a great place to see that stated in God's word. Revelation 20, and I'll read verse 4. And I saw thrones. This is John, the writer speaking, the revelator under Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ under his Father. Isn't it neat how those things go down like that? And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, not just one, but to them, many thrones. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And please go back then to Revelation 5. Let's go back to Revelation 5 and fill in a little bit more of the details. Now when he, and this he is actually the Lamb. I don't know how the Lamb picked it up, but after he, the Lamb, who is also symbolically, this is Jesus Christ. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which is explained, which are the prayers of the saints, which we are. And they sang a new song, saying, You, This is to Jesus Christ. You are worthy, or the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed to God by your blood out of every tribe and nation and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. So I wasn't, you know, just blowing hot air. I'm saying that is our destiny should we choose to accept the challenges which are now here and will be even more so in the future that will come our way. Brethren, I get a little shaky when I think about that. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, but He's asking us to be kings and priests with Him. And when we were baptized and then had hands laid on us to receive God's Holy Spirit, we agreed. We agreed that we would stick it out to the end. Now, right now, I don't see any of you suffering too much. Dennis got a bum leg, you know, and Mr. Helmuth needed a little help getting up and sitting down. But we're not suffering greatly. We are not. But we will. It will come. It will come to us. And then we have to remember the promises that we made when we were baptized. We can, in the future, help Jesus Christ rule the earth. We have rulers now, but most of them do not rule well. No matter what the nation, and I want you to ask me why not. And thank you for saying that. Let's go to Jeremiah 5 and find out why these guys don't do a better job of ruling. Notice verses 26 to 31 in Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5, I said 26. Let me start reading there. For among my people, and that my is capitalized, interestingly, for among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap to catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich. In Kenya, according to one of the men that was ordained an elder at the feast, 100 men own 99% of the 100 men. It's worse than in the United States by a long shot. 100 men own 99% of the wealth in Kenya, and there are 44 million people in Kenya. And the wealth, the entirety of this rich country, gold, oil, uranium, blessed with abundant rain to bring up crops and raise animals. 100 people own all of that. They have grown great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, the cause of the widows. The widows is not here, but that fatherless and widows, God always puts those together. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. This is God speaking, shall I not punish them for these things, says the Eternal? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Which nation is he talking about? Let's not go into that. An astonishing and a horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets, those who preach, prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people, who are God's people? And my people love to have it so. But what will we do in the end? What we want to do in the end, and I hope well before the end, is we want to learn a different way. Let's go to Matthew 20. See a different way to live. A different way, a way that Jesus Christ tells us so clearly that we are to live. These verses don't need a lot of explanation. They're very clear. Matthew 20 and starting in verse 25. Jesus called them, and who was the them? These are his intimate disciples. He's not talking to the world out there. He's talking to his people. Jesus Christ called them to himself and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over the people. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Very easy to understand, maybe hard to do, but it's not hard to understand. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for the many. Serving others is what Jesus Christ taught. Brethren, I don't want to have you avoid putting money in the penny jar. I don't want that to happen at all. But I do want to also encourage you to pick up a music DVD and then to, and Mr. Weber cleared this word with me, donate. We don't give offerings. Offerings are given on the holy days. Mr. Weber wanted me to make sure that you understand this is not a holy day. Well, it is. It's a Sabbath. But this is not one of God's seven special holy days. I don't want to discourage you from putting money in the penny jar, but if you can donate to the Kenyan Brother when you pick up, Kenyan Brethren, when you pick up one of those music DVDs, it will help them. Anything would help. Anything. Remember, our destiny is to become kings and priests who rule God's way, not the way of Satan. Got to show you this because I have a little bit of time. Let's notice the way that Satan rules. Let's turn to Isaiah 14. Now, this is at the beginning in Isaiah 14, we see Lucifer. It even mentions that. Isaiah 14, verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer was an incredibly bright, beautiful archangel, if we understand correctly. There's nothing the matter with Lucifer, the name. There's a great deal the matter with Lucifer, what he became. So I don't want to read that whole thing to you, but I do want to read a little bit to you. Let's go to verses 13 and 14. Isaiah says, because he was inspired by God, for you, Lucifer, has said in your heart, excuse me, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven, above the other angels. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. And we understand this to be the throne of God. Lucifer actually wanted to usurp God. At least he wanted to usurp his authority, and he wanted to be the boss. Verse 14, Lucifer says, or Isaiah has put these words in, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And in some translations, it actually leaves out the word like. I will be the Most High. Yet, and then I don't want to read any more at that particular time. That's pride. That's not humility. Had Lucifer stayed humble, he could have continued to serve with the other archangels that we hear about, Michael and what's that other guy's name? I forget what his name is. Gabriel, thank you. Thank you very much, Gabriel. Where is little Gabriel today? I miss him. He's my buddy. I always make airplanes, and he can throw those airplanes. Gabriel, I know that God did not create Lucifer to be evil, but he made that choice, and he took a third of the angels with him. We don't want to go that way, brethren. God's way is totally different. It's not It's not pride. It is humility. Notice Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 42. I didn't mark my Bible today, so today I'm turning with you, not to my marked place, but if I can get there before you, good. 2 verse 42. I notice that there were four things in this verse that I really like. Acts 2, verse 42. And they, this is the church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's number one. We have to know good doctrine. And fellowship. We need to fellowship with each other. That's a separate thing. And they continued in the breaking of bread, and in the breaking of bread, that is not communion. You know what that is? That's after I finish speaking, we'll go out there and we'll eat. We eat together. It's fun. It's a wonderful thing when we eat together. That's a blessing. That's number three. And finally, and in prayers. We need to pray. We, as Mr. Weber has said many times, we need to be a praying people. We need to pray. We need to pray together. We need to pray individually. Let's go on to Ephesians 5. I want to show you something else, another way that we rule. We can learn to rule now. I'm telling us now, this is the way we learn to rule correctly right now, even before Jesus Christ comes back and tells us what we're going to be doing. Ephesians 5, I'm going to pick out one scripture right out of the whole... Ephesians 5:21. 5:21. This is so important, and I don't think you need to have it explained, but we need to submit to one another. I know they're talking in Ephesians 5 about husbands and wives. I realize that. But I would like to extend that just a little bit and say, we need to submit to one another. We need to talk to one another. When we have a difference of opinion, we don't have to kill the other guy. We can submit to one another. I know you don't have a problem like that, but I get excited sometimes, you know, and I think my ideas are right. If I would follow God's law and submit, wouldn't have those problems. So submitting to one another is one of the ways to rule correctly. Hebrews 5, verse 2. Another thing we need to learn. Hebrews 5 and verse 2. I'm going to take a little bit of time on this. I know it says he, but it's talking about Jesus Christ. But we can have compassion on those around us who are ignorant and going astray. We don't have to snap our fingers and knock them dead, you know, like two of the apostles wanted to do. You know, Lord, would you like us to call down fire on them? That's not what we're asked to do. We're asked to have compassion. We can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself, and this is talking about Jesus Christ, he was also subject to weakness. Never thought he got tired, but he did. And he'd go off with his apostles or... Okay, let's go to Matthew 9. I don't want to take away my good scriptures. Matthew 9, other ways. I'm going to drill this compassion thing. I think it's important that we have compassion. We need to have compassion. We need to care about other people, not ourselves all the time. Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35 says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among them. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." We have shepherds. We have helping shepherds. But we need to think about the people that don't. And we need to care for them. Mark 6, verse 34. Mark 6, verse 34. Mark 6, 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out," this is another time, "saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep having no shepherd." may have been the same time, actually. So he began to teach them many things. I want you to notice that before he fed them, and you know, one time he fed 5,000, one time 4,000, but before he fed them, he taught them. We do that. We teach in here, we're going to go out there, we're going to eat something, we're going to have a good time. It's good to teach, though. It's good to teach. And seeing the ticking of the clock, I'm going to go to one last scripture, 1 John 3. I'm going to leave out a couple, just like Mr. Clark did. 1 John 3, and I will read one verse, verse 17. 1 John 3, 17 says, oh yes, and I remember why I put this in here. John is stating, not just to the people that he sent the letter to, but those letters were passed around. John's talking to all of us. Whoever has this world's goods, and I have them. You may not think I'm filthy rich. Suzanne says I'm filthy sometimes. But I have a lot of money, more than I need. That's what it's talking about here. Whoever has this world's needs and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Just that one scripture, out of context. We are to take care of those who are less fortunate than we are. It's a simple thing. Brethren, some of us have this world's goods. And most of our brethren in Africa don't. So we have the penny jar, and you've probably seen the thank you notes and the pictures that have been sent to us from those people that you helped, that we helped. Most of you have given with no thought of getting anything back. That's godly, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. But let's notice another principle, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians, thank you, Father, turned right there. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For, and this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Thessalonians, but he's talking to us too. Please take it to heart. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, most of us are either working or we have worked. But in Africa, those people are subsistence farmers. They make barely enough to live on. I'm not saying that the food is not good. We ate their food for a week, and it was great. It was wonderful food. But they don't have anything left over to sell. Their avocados were bigger than the Clark's avocados. And they were delicious. And when they found out that we liked avocados, they served us avocados every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, we just ate avocados. These things were huge. And you could only eat, like, we couldn't even eat one. Suzanne couldn't even eat one avocado. I forced myself. I ate more than. But anyway, I ate a whole avocado, and it was just delicious. They don't have extra money, though. Paul was being a little outspoken, I know, when he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But it is God's word. So let's continue to read 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But look at verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. If you give to the penny jar, don't hold back from giving to the penny jar. But there's something else you can do. The brethren in East Africa shared with us what they had. Shared their avocados, and they sent me back these music DVDs. And they hope that this music DVD will make you happy. Hopefully they will. And they wanted me to share it with you. I hope that you will be able to share with them some of the monetary blessings that we enjoy here in the USA. May God richly may God richly reward. I tripped on that word. May God richly reward your generosity.